never saw Louisiana. Never threatened by a flood. But after Hurricane Katrina, Crescent City turned to mud. And I thought of the musicians who made all the sounds we love. Hardly ever compensated. Lucky just to get a crumb. Forgotten. They invented jazz. Forgotten. Gave us all the blues. Forgotten. And the Dixieland. Forgotten. Rockabilly too. Forgotten. They gave us ragtime. Forgotten. And the second line. Forgotten. Cajun and Zydeco. Forgotten. Even rock and roll. Never saw Louisiana. Never threatened by a flood. But after Hurricane Katrina, Crescent City turned to mud. And I thought of the musicians who made all the sounds we love. Hardly ever compensated. Lucky just to get a crumb. Forgotten. They invented jazz. Forgotten. Gave us all the blues. Forgotten. and a Dixieland forgotten, rockabilly too forgotten. They gave us ragtime forgotten, and the second line forgotten, Cajun and Zydeco forgotten, even rock and roll forgotten. 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 Forgotten.
That's Brian Blane with Forgotten from his latest album. It's entitled New Folk Blues 2. Actually, 2.0 is the official title, mainly because that Brian actually did produce an album of New Folk Blues a few years ago, and then decided that it was time to, as New Folk Blues was an off-the-floor live recording, decided it would be fun to actually bring some people in to add a little bit of colour, a little bit of panache to the album. Brian is our special guest in the mobile studio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. It's now Sunday. I think we're all basking in the glow of another weekend of fabulous, fabulous musical camaraderie. There you are. You see, on a Sunday morning, I can still use that word after Folk Music Ontario. How are you doing today, Brian?
Great. It's a little early after a busy weekend, but glad to be here.
Great to have
and
you.
And this is the
join
end
us.
For me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I first met you when you were playing in one of these showcase rooms. I think we were in Harlan's Porch a few years ago, and that room had been going pretty much all night. I think it often goes all night for at least one of the nights of the conference.
They said 6:30 a.m. last night.
Yeah, 6:30 a.m. You're probably like me. You don't stay quite that long these days. But you've been making music for 40 years in blues and jazz. 50 years.
50 years as a recording artist, not just making music, but in 1964 was my first recording. A little 45 that we made in Quebec. I had a group, kind of a Peter, Paul, and Mary clone, and we were in Sherbrooke, Quebec, and there was some enterprising guy that was making 45 singles, and he had a deal with the local bread delivery guy or company, and these 45s were being handed out to all his customers. And we made one on a three-track recorder in RCA Studios in Montreal. Our payment for that session was a steak dinner and a trip to Montreal. That was it hasn't changed that much, has it?
No. Well, that's the thing. And certainly you could look at the other end of the spectrum where anybody, if you can get people to play for as little as possible, there are definitely people out there that'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
The more we can encourage people to support music as art.
We were glad to have an opportunity to do some recording and be in a real studio. It was fabulous. And we played around Quebec. Alan Fraser, my oldest musical buddy, had moved to Sherbrooke from the Maritimes. And I think he had eyes for my sister. And he came around my place and he saw I had this old Philips tape recorder and a guitar. And so we started playing music together. And the girl in the group was my cousin, Caro Vallée, who became kind of a pretty big star on her own in Quebec later in the 70s and into the 80s. And now she's spreading the good word. She's a minister. She goes and does, it's almost like old school tent meetings, you know, and she sings tunes and praises the Lord. God
bless
her.
That's good. Well, as long as you have fun doing whatever you're doing, that's the main thing. So
that's the beginning. You got chapter one there.
Tell us a little bit about New Folk Blues, because as I understand it, it was originally a live album that you recorded, a sort of career retrospective.
Well, not really. I had one particular song, and it was called The Wailer's Confession. And you know who George Kohler is? He is legendary. There isn't
absolute
anybody,
bass player,
there isn't a better bass player on the planet. And anyway, I heard him at a jazz festival, and he was using the harmonics on the bass, making these fabulous whale sounds. You know, it sounded like whales for sure. And so I always wanted to get him to play with me on that song. And then it evolved into, well, we'd get a little gig at a coffee house. And I got together with him for a couple of hours, like the night before. We maybe played five or six tunes, and I only intended to capture that one song. But in the end, out of that gig at Reba's Cafe in Toronto, we captured nine songs that I thought were pretty good performances from me. He was brilliant as ever, but I'm kind of hit or miss sometimes, especially in the studio. They say I have the red light fever, you know. It's like 17 takes later. I'm still, well, let's try it one more time. And now I had something. There's no take two. And I was totally satisfied with the performance. So I said, well, we're going to put this out in nine tracks. And it became New Folk Blues, a little live solo album. But I didn't do a thing, really, to promote it. I just had it out there, and it got me some gigs, but not a lot of radio play. And it was a quick mix, quick master thing. And so I still, now years go by, a few years, and I don't have a whole bunch of new songs to do. So I thought, I don't know if it just started with a couple of tunes or whatever, but I have so many musician friends. As you know, I'm also on the media side, you know, so I've been meeting these people in Toronto since I moved there in 1990, and I had a battery of people that would be glad to come and play with me. So over the course of, maybe it was over 2 years, different people came in, and we would pick a song, and they would come in, and they would just give it their treatment, you know, and in the case of the one you just heard, that's Alison Young and Colleen Allen, two of the A-list horn players. And I said, well, the song's about New Orleans, so can you kind of do that sort of thing they do in marching second line? And that's how it starts, and it worked out great. And then there's, Alison plays a ripping solo in there. And each tune took on such a whole new sound and approach. It's almost like they're all nine tunes are from nine different albums or nine different periods in my artistic development, you know. But here's the interesting thing. I've had some nice comments about this. On my website, I created a little player. Please go to brianblane.com. /audio is the page it's on, but you'll find it. And where you can play all the tracks, and they got the A and B. And if you click on A, you're hearing it the way I originally recorded it with just me and George. And then you click on B, and it switches over to the fully produced version. It's kind of cool.
You know, I can actually see New Folk Blues 3.0, where you have the original version, and then you can add all these people individually.
Oh, wow. Make your own mix.
Yeah,
eh?
I think that would be very cool. It could be an app.
Well, the last part, on the promo, we called it the live album has become a living album because it just went through this whole growth again. And I carried it one step further, although I can't say it's really gotten legs yet. But my son is a DJ, and he has a whole community of guys that do remixes. You know, they find a track they like, and then they just mash it up and add stuff. So, and now it's kind of a standard in that world to have remix contests. And so a band will put up a track, and they will put up all the separate tracks online, and a remixer, producer type can download all those elements and just make their own creation and put it back up. And sometimes win a prize. If there's a major label or something involved, they offer prizes for that. So I did that with Ghost of Clinton's Tavern, which is a tune that Joel had already messed around with me. We had done a bit of slicing and dicing on that. And we are now out there performing together, father and son. That's an interesting dynamic. You know, it's great on stage, no problem, but the rehearsals are hell. Don't tell him I said that.
I'm sure he might listen to this at least once. So let's play another track from the album. What do you think we should play?
Well, the tune that I get a kick out of, because it's the most radical transformation of all those nine songs, is called The Ghost of Clinton's Tavern. And when I got to Toronto, Clinton's Tavern is a great entertainment venue in Toronto. Do you know it? Have you ever been there? It's been there forever, and it's got a back room with a big stage, big production, and they've had all different kinds of music there. They used to have another room upstairs where they would have open mics and that kind of more casual stuff. Anyway, when I was there the first time, I heard these rumblings that, this is a haunted place, and some guy had died in a gambling fight. He had been shot. So I ended up in the next year or so. I arrived in 1990, so maybe around 92 I wrote this song, Ghost of Clinton's Tavern. And I've never really played it a whole lot, but then when we did that live recording, I pulled it out, and George, once again, did some amazing, crazy sounds with his bow on the bass. But for the remix, I handed it off to my son, the DJ, Joel Blaine. Coy is the name. And we spent a while, and he just added all these atmospherics and beats and stuff, and really becomes a whole new thing.
Let's listen to that now. This is Brian Blaine from the album New Folk Blues 2.0, and this is The Ghost of Clinton's Tavern. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
A card shark died, a card game was fixed. A shotgun blast at a bar on floor. He haunts that place forevermore. He's the ghost of Clinton's Tavern. He's the ghost of Clinton's Tavern. Been shafted and he's been crossed. His spirit's low, his soul is lost. He hates but can't remember why. Just that someone's got to die. He's a ghost to step. I say he's the ghost of Clinton step, and he's a bad ghost. And he's coming down. Especially must beware. He's the ghost of Clinton's Tavern. He's the ghost of Clinton's Tavern. He's the ghost of Clinton's Tavern. And he's coming down, he's coming to get you. And when you think there's something in the air, it's the ghost of Clinton's Tavern standing there.
Mm-hmm.
That's Brian Blane with The Ghost of Clinton's Tavern from his remixed album New Folk Blues 2, and that features Brian's son, who is Coy, not Joel. Is that right?
That's his... And not DJ Coy either. He's just corrected me there. He's not a DJ. He's a producer. Well, I don't know. You lose track. That's a whole separate world.
It is a whole separate world.
But it sure dwarfs the blues and folk community. Yeah. It's huge in Toronto. You see the listings for live music, you know, and there's four or five folk and jazz and blues, and there are like 20 DJs.
Your own involvement in the blues in Toronto. I mean, you're involved in blues and jazz because you play as a trio, right? Are you playing more jazz than blues?
No, I don't play jazz at all. Okay. Though jazz has provided my living mostly in Toronto. When I got there, 1990, I volunteered for the Blues Society, and I was a desktop publishing guy. I had my little Macintosh back when they were just a cute little square thing. And I was helping them with their newsletter, and that went on for a year or so until finally it became a job, you know, and I became the managing editor, which I am to this day. So we put out Maple Blues every month since then. And a couple of months, maybe a year later, the people that run the jazz festival had a jazz society, and they asked the Blues Society, who does that newsletter, you know, because we want one too. So I started working for them, making a newsletter, and both of these things evolved into websites and other roles there. So that's kind of been the day job, although it's a great day job for a musician because it's only the last week of the month that I'm really occupied trying to get these things out for the first of the month. And so I could spend the first 3 weeks of every month out on the road or doing whatever I want to do.
So you have your guitar with you. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to play something for us.
Well, speaking of on the road, when I was doing my showcase, I was doing my Cape Cod trilogy, but I'll just do you the one tune that is the most recent. And I joke about this that, you know, every time I go to Cape Cod, I hear people complaining about the tourists and there's too many people, there's too many bikes and bikes are getting hit. And narrow little road to get to Provincetown, from Boston. And so I said, well, I got an idea. We'll write. And at that time, there was the big shark scares in Truro, particularly, where I was staying. And that Truro is not the Truro most people listening to this will be acquainted with, but there's a Truro, Massachusetts, which is a great little community. And so now I decided I would write a tune that would kind of discourage the tourism a bit, okay?
And what's this called?
I don't really have a name for it yet, but let's call it the Cape Cod Blues. Early morning here. Shark attack in Truro. They say don't swim around the seals. Ticks and mosquitoes, deadly as the eels. Killer tornadoes and a vicious hurricane. One good tsunami would wash Cape Cod away. But we got the sunshine, we got the sea, we got the sand. Enjoy it while you can. But poison ivy all around. When you go swimming, the undertow will suck you down. Beaches disappearing, you can't stop that rising tide. A few more meters and you can kiss Cape Cod goodbye. But we got the sunshine, we got the sea, we got the sand.
Enjoy it while you can. Enjoy it while you can. Enjoy it while you can.
That's Brian. I was going to call him Colorblind Blaine.
Some people still do.
Apparently has lots of names. Brian Blaine live in the Folk Roots Radio Studio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference with the Cape Cod Blues. And I do get the impression that they might discourage some people from wanting to head down there.
And I remember playing it for a few people down there without the introduction, you know, and seeing kind of some jaws hitting the floor. It's like, wait a minute, you know, you can't talk about our place like that. But it's all tongue-in-cheek. And in fact, my whole songwriting life is pretty damn tongue-in-cheek, you know. My first recording was a song called Don't Forget Your Mother. I was in a band with my friend Russ Kelly and Sue Lothrop, who you probably have met here at the conference. And we had a band, I think it was called Tough Beans. And I did one song in the show. I think I might have done one Van Morrison song. And then I had written one song, and it was called Don't Forget Your Mother. And a producer called Andre Perry heard us, I guess, and wanted to record that song. And he wanted to record it with the Mothers of Invention. That was his big idea. And sure enough, we did. Not with Frank Zappa himself. He declined to come to the session. But his whole band, they were in Montreal doing a big arena tour. And all the musicians from that band came over to the studio. Some played on the track. Some just hung out and got smashed. And it was also kind of a tongue-in-cheek sort of tune, you know, that people never really knew how to take it. But anyway, I won't sing that one for you. That's an ancient one. But my approach to songwriting has always been, I writing about like being in the music business and seeing what goes on behind the scenes. And then I write a lot of songs about other musicians, you know. I wrote a song about my record label, if you can believe it, you know. How many people did that? But it's...
Was it a positive song about your record label?
Well, yes. It's called The Day Coke Saved the Blues. It's on the album. And the label was called Northern Blues, and any blues label would be struggling, you know, even though it was well-financed by a gentleman here in Ottawa, Fred Litwin, who was also a big part of Borealis Records, still might be, and he still wanted a blues label, and I worked with him just on some behind-the-scenes stuff, database, mailing lists, media. And then he heard my first recording that I'd made when I first got to Toronto, and he wanted to put it out on the label. And I convinced him that, wait a minute, I got some new songs here. Let's go in the studio and try something new. And he said, well, okay, we'll add a couple of tracks to what you got, so we'll go in the studio. Well, I went in the studio and I recorded 11 songs, you know, and we had a new album. And then the years two goes by, and the label is starting to have some financial difficulties. They put out some great records, but, you know, it costs a lot to run a label and make records. And he was doing it right, God bless him, you know. And so anyway, at one point, he was starting to think, this is going to fold. This is not going to keep going. He wasn't going to pour his whole fortune into this. And but one of the songs he was publishing was a song that one of his artists, Paul Reddick, had written and recorded with him. And it got picked up for a Coca-Cola commercial in the States. It played on the Super Bowl. You know, that's the highest profile commercial you're ever going to get. And the proceeds from that kind of kept him going another couple of years. And ultimately, Northern Blues ceased production. But anyway, I wrote a song called The Day Coke Saved the Blues.
And that's on...
On New Folk Blues 2.0, yes.
That's great. You know, it's been great to talk to you today. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Well, I... it's always been brianblaine.ca, but lately, in the last year, I acquired the .com. I found there's another Brian Blane in California. He's a wealthy pecan farmer who never really took any interest in the website, but he had the domain name. Well, in the end, he wants to connect with me, and he gave me the domain, and it was paid up for 5 years. I thought that was very generous. So now I have brianblane.com, and I built a whole new website around that. So go there, check it out. I got a lot of photo galleries and videos, and I have a blog that I've maintained since I got to Toronto. Even before blogs, even before the internet, I was keeping what I call the Toronto Blues Diary. And when I made that first website for the Jazz Festival, I kept a little corner for myself hidden, and I started putting my online ramblings. And it's called the TorontoBluesDiary.com. And it goes all the way back to 1990. And I was trying to kind of give tips to other artists that might be arriving in that Toronto, which is not always the most welcoming situation for a musician. You know, there's a lot of people there want stage time. And you walk into Toronto, you know. So it was full of tips about where to go, who to see, and how to get into those open mics and that way that people get in.
And if people want to catch you playing live again?
Well, October 29th is the CD launch of New Folk Blues 2.0 with George and some of the horn players that you heard at the beginning. And my son will even show up at the end with his iPad and
blow you all away.
Yes. So that's October 29th. It's a beautiful venue in Toronto. I wonder if you know it. It's called the Old Mill. It's been there forever, since Toronto probably, but now it's a very elite spa and hotel, and they have a jazz series there, and I'm kind of the token blues guy. I played last year, and I'm going to do it
again.
That
was why I kind of wondered whether you did play a little bit of jazz, because you were in that series, but mm-hmm. That's great. So that's Saturday, October the 29th.
7:30 start, if anybody's listening in Toronto. Will this be on the air before October 29th?
It will be. I will make sure it happens.
Okay. Beautiful.
It's been great to have you join us. We have one last thing to do, and that's pick the final song we're going to play. What we're going to play?
Well, one of the things I did in Toronto for the last maybe 10 years, even beyond, I would get a residency in a place. First, it was the Transact for about a year. Then I had a barbecue restaurant that hired me for a year there, and I would do Brian's Blues Campfire. And it was, and I did it at OCFF. In fact, that's where I got the campfire moniker. And I have a little ersatz campfire that I would bring. And it was always wide open. I would have some professionals with young kids just starting out. And the thing about a blues campfire or a jam, unlike any other, is that everybody plays together, you know, because everybody can play the blues. There's only three, you know, when to change chords, you know. And so I would encourage everybody to play, and it was a fabulous time. And we would always end our jams with this song, and it's about Lenny Bro. He's a musician. He's a deity in the world of guitar players. And I never met a guitar player yet that didn't know who Lenny Bro was. He died very young. If he hadn't died, quite tragically too, he would have been a superstar all over the planet. Like he was Chet Atkins' favorite guitar player, that kind of thing. So I only got to meet him once. And I kind of commemorated that with a song. Last time I saw Lenny, we were driving in a Winnipeg rain. He's gonna play at some park concert. First the stop at Long and McQuaid. Well, we got rained out, the concert canceled. So we went up to Dick and Sandy's to jam. How Winnipeg loved Lenny. He was their music man. But then he moved to Nashville, and later on, L.A. breaking into the big time and making him a name. Ah, the sound of his harmonics could make the most bitter picker smile. And when he died, we lost his presence. But there'll always be a Lenny Bro style. Some people often wonder what these musicians are about, but the music keeps on trucking, and that's why we took this route. I remember someone told me, I repeated to my wife, some people live for music, but musicians play for life. Some people live for music, but musicians play for life.
That's a perfect way to finish. Brian Blane on Folk Roots Radio.
Thanks.
It's been
for
an absolute pleasure.
All right.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.